Blog Talk Radio.
On a specified
1,000.
Help plane.
What?
Lieutenant.
No.
Draw by post. On
That's right. You don't have to turn it anymore. You got it. You got Taino Radio. This is DJ Salakori at Wednesday night. You know what that means, right? It's the Indigenous Power Hour show with Indy 41. But before we start it off, you know what's going to happen.
Oh,
one, before you go on, guess what? Honor the people. Always a good day for a jingle dress sidestep. This must be Wednesday night. That's right. This is the Indigenous Power Hour Activism Show in the 4-1. Are you there?
I am here, and thank you, Mr. Santa Corey, DJ Santa Corey, relatives of Turtle Island.
You're so formal, like always.
You know?
Yes,
well,
I do
know.
You're always formal.
Well, I was just going to say, those are some of those, you know, have you ever seen some people's kids? And they act like they ain't got no training at all. So I figure, you know what I mean? I figure that if I, you know, model the behavior that, you know, I wish to see in others, that, you know, it'll, you know. Others will be inspired to, you know, not only teach theirs,
nice.
But to, yes, I mean, because, you know, as Indigenous people, we're not savages. We were never the savages, you know? But we created society, community, family, you know what I mean? So why not?
You know what?
Why
not? You know, speaking of children that don't listen or whatever, or they have to be taught, I used to have a great auntie. She's long passed to the spirit world. Sometimes she pulls my ears. But she used to have a saying whenever she went into somebody's house.
What is with the ears?
And
what is
with
the ears?
I don't know, but even in the spirit world, they do it.
Well,
my
great-grandma. She used to wear, like, those one, you know, kind of like Moomoo's, but not really a Moomoo because hers buttoned up in the middle and then it had the two pockets. She used to carry around a butter knife. And she would say, yeah, when we weren't listening, you know,
butter
she'd come up our ears and she'd say, you want me to cut these off? You don't even use them. You know what I mean? And then when she'd act like she's cutting them off, she had the dull, or, you know, the not, you know, of the butter knife. Mm. And oh, God, we were in fear for our lives, you know? Mm. And my grandma was a little itty-bitty thing, you know, maybe 5 foot. But back then, yeah. I remember her being way bigger than that and way scarier, kind of like that bull's horns. But please continue, said it, Corey.
No, I always remember my great auntie. She raised me. She halfway raised me when I was a teenager, and she always used to have a saying. We used to go to people's houses, and it was unruly children. She's real politely, calm, cool, collect. We'll go up to the parents and say, listen, can you just give me 2-3 days with them? And I promise, when they come back, you know, they'll be nice. And, you know, she'll have that sinister look like, oh, man, it's over. Huh?
They'll be behaved.
Over. All she needed was 2 days, 2-3 days.
Oh,
you know, Caribbean
wow.
moms, you know. I don't know about most American native moms, but Caribbean moms, they're rough. But they love you.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. They love.
Yes, and they love hard,
they care.
Unfortunately. You know, and I don't know, Santa Cruz. I just know that there is nothing like indigenous love, whether it's from a parent, whatever, or a significant other. There is just nothing like it, you know, and I've had relationships and, you know, and being, you know, of a mixed, you know, race, you know, because there are two sides to me, and they had totally different connotations and, you know, and ways of showing, you know, emotion. You know, some were real loving, others were, you know, I never vibed with my dad's side, you know what I mean? So it was kind of a distant love, you know?
Well, you know what's crazy? She never hit me and she never really yelled at me, but that stern look, like, oh, damn, I better behave.
Oh, I know that.
But she never hit, though, but it was that look. It's like, oh,
right. That's
not good. And whenever she hit me, I mean, not hit me, whenever she would yell at me, it's because I brought my friends over, you know, teenagers, you know, would come over. You know, back then it was the breakdance era. And she would yell at me because I didn't tell her we were coming over. The guys were coming over because she didn't have food ready. She didn't have food ready.
Yeah.
And she was always like, damn it, why didn't you tell me? I haven't cooked yet. You know, she was always about the food,
you know. Yeah. And they mean that. They mean that, you know. Any child, you know, that's what we don't have in this society.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, first of all, the village is lost, you know. And just that part, you know, we have relatives that will whoop your kids' ass if you're not there to do it. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, they step in and, you know, and also, you know, how our makeup is, you know, we don't have cousins. You know what I mean? We have, they're your brother, your sister. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Auntie becomes, you know, grandma or mom. You know what I mean? We don't use those, you know, those types of references. And we love them like our mother. You know, we love them like, you know, a brother or a sister, you know, even in the a male and female relationships, like that's my brother. You know, we don't have like that kind of, you know, how in some cultures, for one, male and female don't mix. But some believe that's possible to have male, female, you know, friendship wise. Not relationship, but, you know, friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. Like, you know, there's a lot of differences. And like I said, there's nothing like Indigenous Love, and every day, every minute, every second is a good day to be Indigenous.
You know, it was crazy. I gave her eulogy, you know, when she died and stuff. It was a really sad moment. She was like one of the last of the great matriarchs, and I remember I kept it really short, you know, and I hit all the highlights, but there's one thing that no one ever forgot what I said, and it summarized. The night before she died, she was very, very ill, and she calls me, and I'm like, oh, my God. You know, she was in a lot of pain from the diabetes. Oh, what is that disease in the legs that attacks you? Back then, they really didn't, back in the 90s, they really didn't have, they gave the wrong meds for it. Neuropathy? Neuropathy, that's it. Yeah, she was always in a lot of pain. Neuropathy.
Yeah.
So she calls me, right? And I'm like, oh, is everything all right? I need to go to the hospital. She says, no, I want, you got to go to the freezer and take out the chicken. It has to defrost by tomorrow. And I'm like, really? Like, I'm ready to call 911, and she's worried about the chicken because she can't get out of bed. She died
Absolutely.
The next day. But the chicken was right there on the kitchen counter. The chicken was right there. So I told everyone this, and everyone started to cry and laugh. I was like, that's
right.
It. That's the spirit of Indigenous woman, right? Like, gotta feed the family. I know I'm dying, but I gotta make sure they eat.
Right?
I know I'm gonna die, you know, but
right.
I gotta make sure
I
that chicken is defrosted.
Yes.
Probably gonna, people are coming over. People are gonna come over to pay their respects. So there has to be chicken.
Right.
And she made sure it was the chicken that she told me to bring down. It was a big chicken. It was chicken cutlets, you know. So.
Right.
I'm like, yo, well, that's what it's all about. Right? That summarizes it. Oh, my God. So, we got a great show today, man. Can you believe this? I can't wait. Tell us, please.
We do.
What's
going to
happen tonight?
All right. Well.
Hold on. You've been bringing some great guests. Speakers and guests in our shows, and I just want to thank you so much. Taino Radio thanks you. Arayeku Kayeke thanks you, and Taino Nation. It's awesome bringing us all together as nations, as one nation, right? As one people.
Absolutely.
You know, we're all nations. We're all indigenous, but that isolation little by little is breaking down, right? Taino Radio.
Right.
But go for it, man. What great guests you have tonight. Tell us.
Well. I have my lovely sister, and her name is Leah Wenzel, and she is a recovery coach for Montana's Peer Network and is the vice president for North Central Montana's Missing, Murdered Indigenous People Task Force.
Wow.
And I just got the goosebumps. She is CEO of United Legacies LLC. So we're talking about a very powerful, very warrior-spirited, you know, woman, and just somebody to make you proud, you know. And
you know,
we're gonna get into it. Is she with us? Has she joined in?
Well, I believe she's on. Let's see what we got. Let's see.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. 3, 2, 1, 0. Are you there?
I'm here, Oki Niskanis. Good to be here tonight with you folks.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to Taino Radio. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you for being
excited.
With us.
I'm excited. Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Well,
I'm
honored, sister, and I can't wait to share your spirit and that medicine and your strength. And, you know, let's get into this. Let's talk some numbers. Let's talk about you know, you're as a recovery coach, then we can go from there. But, you know, take your time with each of those hats you wear, and, you know, I'm very proud of you. And so just go ahead. Let the relatives know what you do, who you are, and what you're about.
Okay, well, I'm Leah Wetzel, and my Blackfeet, my Pekuni name is Punaki, and that's Elk Woman. And so my story begins, you know, long before I was even born, you know. Our folks have been overcoming and learning to cope for many, many years. So I'm from Montana, and I was born to Billy Joe Debro and Mike Wetzel, both Blackfeet. And my dad's dad, Blackie Wetzel, he was started out being a councilman for our tribe. And then later on, he was president of the National, I believe it was Indian Association then. And he worked down in D.C. with Mike Mansfield and Robert Kennedy. And my dad was about 14 then. And this was mid-60s. And my grandpa, you know, he was always trying to make a difference for inequality for our people, you know. And it was only, 1978 that we even legally were able to practice our ways, and that wasn't yet in the boarding schools. But on my mom's side, my grandpa Bill Devereaux, he ended up being inducted into the Crow Rodeo Hall of Fame for team roping. But you know, that was a lot to live up to for us kids. You know, that was a lot of pressure. And so there was a lot of, you know, intergenerational trauma going on, you know, my family directly affected by the boarding schools. And so, you know, from the outside looking in, it probably looked damn near picture perfect. But, you know, we learned to put a mask on real early. And so just dealing with those things, I started getting into addiction. I was about 13. You know, and it started out with little weed and drinking, and, you know, it just progressed. It progressed, and, you know, I struggled with that. I'm 39, and I've been sober 3.5 years, and I've been trying to find this recovery, find this wellness for long before that, you know. And my journey, you know, my journey took me through the criminal life. It took me through doing things, you know, I never thought I would do, and being in situations that I wouldn't wish on anybody. And so that's where I feel like any person, no matter what your background is, that's where our true medicine is, what we decide to do with that. And so this last time I got out of prison, and my brother passed away while I was there. He, you know, lost his fight with this disease, and, you know, and so I got out and just went back to the same old, picked up some more felonies, and I ended up in a deal called a drug court. And through that, I just kind of learned how to be human again, and was treated human, you know. Anybody that's dealt with incarceration knows that when you're not even being called by your first name, you're like, you ain't even good enough to be called by your first name. And you stand in count, hollering out your AO number. You know, you kind of lose yourself within that. And so, I had to do a lot of soul searching and learn about that self-love piece. And so through that, I connected back. Yeah, it is. You know, and it ain't easy. It's a lot easier said than done, you know. It takes a tribe to keep me up, you know. And what's hugely impacted my life and my aspect and who I am and what I'm about is my culture, is my roots. And so what's that?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, on all those different journeys that led you here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think not identity crisis was a big part of it?
Oh, yeah. Being an urban native in a suburban area, you know, both my parents worked for the school district. My stepdad and my mom. My stepdad was black. My mom, very dark, Blackfeet woman. And my real dad was in Helena. And like the late 80s, being in a suburban area here in Great Falls, like we were the most colorful family on the block, you know? And so
right.
I laugh because anybody that knows Great Falls, Montana, you know, I grew up on Fox Farm, and that's kind of known as, like, the rich area in town. But that's where I learned how to fight, you know, and I had to do with that identity piece. I remember I was in second grade, and it was Bicentennial Day, and they're like, dress up as your ancestors, and my mom's getting me up in that regalia, my great-great-grandma Mabel made her a fully buckskin beaded dress and just proud, you know?
Yeah.
And going to school, and literally everybody was a cowboy or a cowgirl. And it was like from that day on, that identity piece, I really struggled with it. And it was, you know, you and I spoke about it. It's a spiritual warfare, and it sometimes starts within ourselves.
Yes. Yes. And it really
so.
Is. And, you know, I had a similar story, something like that. It was my grandma had got me my first, you know, ribbon dress, not dress, but, you know, the skirt and the top. And, you know, I was so proud, and I braided my hair up, put my dress on, and wore it to school, you know, because it was beautiful, and I remember just being teased the whole way. And I'd never experienced racism like that. Now, don't get me wrong, I was always the Washichula, you know, growing up. You know, the white one, you know. But to me, it didn't affect me like that day when I wore my dress, you know. And it was just like, I mean, it hurt me. Your young name, same thing. And until I put that dress on, nobody saw me as a little Indian girl. But that day I did, I wore it. All of a sudden, now I was a little Indian girl, you know,
right.
And it was just, it was pretty traumatic for me, but I'm sorry, just keep going, please.
Yeah, it's painful, you know, it's something that, you know, that type of stuff at that age, that cruelty, that's learned behavior. You know,
yeah.
And even though, you know, my stepdad, even though, you know, and it wasn't just me getting terrorized. Like, we get, I remember waking up in the middle of night, like a duct tape bomb. I didn't even know what that was. But a duct tape bomb in our mailbox. And, but my dad, my stepdad, he always said the last card you pull was that race card. You try to rise above, and those are valuable lessons. And I didn't quite get that yet. You know, all I knew is, damn, that shit stung, you know, and it hung out with me throughout life. And but I was always raised in a family to be very proud of who I am and where I come from, you know. And so my parents, you know, neither one of them really talked about what happened. And so when this boarding school closure epidemic, you know, as Native folks, we've been known for a while, you know, and you hear about family members, you know, just never hearing about them again, you know. Hearing family talking about family that they're never seen after that experience, and watching the effects that it had. But like I said, you know, as kids, we learned at an early age to mask that. And so it came out sideways, you know, it came out in fighting. And one of my coping skills early on was with sports. And I played basketball, volleyball, softball, you know. I got good grades in school. I was just naturally good at the education. You know, I played the violin, the viola, and the cello, and, you know, that was my outlet. And so I was always trying to prove myself, I guess you could say, because I really didn't know who I was for a long time, you know? And when I was 19, my mom, she got honored with being one of the main bundle holders of our family's bundle. And during that time, we all got our names. And when I got my name, Elk Woman, Tamaki, Leonard Bestin, he's in my name. And he's one of the elders, very respected elders for my clan. And he actually recently was just teaching our language over Zoom during COVID. But he said, as he went through the story of my name, he said, Leah's like the elk word. They used to roam all over, you know, pretty much carefree, and something came along and scattered them up. And he said, and that's where she's at right now. And he said, you're going to go through some hardships. You're going to go through some, you know, hard times. And he said, but you're going to rise above, and you're going to bring something beautiful to the valley, to the people. And so that story, like, rings in my ear. You know, I remember sitting in the cell and just, you know, especially when I heard about my brother. And that's always what I would hang on to, is that spirituality piece. You know, that was my internal motivation. And every time I did get sober, like, I loved getting educated. I loved getting involved with my culture. I loved learning, you know. But I had so many layers to peel back. And one of the, you know, recent traumatic experiences I went through before I got sober is why my heart is in the work I do. You know, besides my brother, you know, he's not here to tell his story, so I'll tell a piece of it. You know, he never really dealt with the sexual trauma he had at an early age. And so that's what ended up taking him. You know, it was drugs, but he gave up on himself. And that's why when I work with people and I do the recovery coaching and I'm, you know, doing the white bike and laying down, you know, I'm trying to reach that someone that just hasn't quite dealt with that one thing. And like I said, one of the most recent traumatic experiences I went through, I was taken out on a dirt road, almost beat to death, and afterwards taken to a hotel, and I thought it was a day, and it was like 3 days later that I got out of there, and I just remember hearing them when we were still out on that dirt road talking about me like I was already dead, you know, and just through all the shit I've been through. Crazy how the stuff we go through teaches us lessons to deal with certain situations. And I lived through that. And I was on the verge of being trafficked myself. You know, I was strung out real bad, weak. You know, you and I talked about it. When we're using more spirit flow and things latch onto us and we're open to that stuff to come into our lives. And so it took.
I was going to say, you know, just that is, you know, we need to spread that knowledge because, you know, a lot of relatives have no traditional teachings at all, so they don't know how to deal with the trauma, the generational trauma for one. Mm. You know, because our cells have memories. So those are those times when you just for no reason and you don't know why. Sometimes that's a trauma, a kickback from a trauma. But what I was going to say is many relatives don't even know the fact that anytime you get in that unsober state, now we should clarify for, you know, those listening that it doesn't have to be a substance of alcohol or a drug. It could be overeating. It could be, you know, anything that is not pure or, you know, it is not how we are to act. So, you know, you got people who, basically anything that's of addiction. So if you got a shopping addiction, if you got cigarette can be an addiction, coffee can be an addiction. So it doesn't just have to be, you know, something that takes a toll on you like that. It's just that state of mind where you don't have control anymore, you know, and it does. Our soul leaves our body, our spirit leaves us. And so how that addiction works is every time, because, you know, they say just on one intoxication, just one setting, okay, that don't mean one beer. That means one setting from beginning to end, and you know, we got relatives who could, you know, like, I hate the stupid, 49er, you know, that whole whatever, you know what I mean? And they would drink all weekend or, because, like, my mom, she's one of 10. And then her mother was, I believe, one of 11. So when my mom drank, she always drank with her sister, you know? And they would drink for like 2 weeks straight. They drink all night, pass out, and then, or they would cook something before they passed out, you know. And I had the type of mom where literally if I didn't roll her once she passed out, we would have no money, you know. So, so think about that. And so think about how long your spirit or your soul is away from you. So the longer it stays away from you, the more that now occupies you, because you become a vessel. And that's the part of addiction that people don't understand, that they're feeding. That's what they're feeding, is what they let in.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so,
it's a process.
Yes. Yes. It is. And, you know, go ahead. Go on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, you're not. I'm vibing with that because it's a process. It's a process of reuniting and becoming one with your soul again, because in that life, in that world, you know, we're abusing our bodies, not only physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And so when we start back on trying to get on the red road again, you know, it does, it is a process, and it seems like everything that could go wrong goes wrong. And it,
right.
It don't want to let up on you that easy. And it's a battle.
Yeah. And you know, something too, you know, that has, you know, helped me is, you know, being mindful that there's always two sets of ears listening, you know? And so when I began mine, it was very personal, you know what I mean? And I kept that process personal, because every time I would share it with a relative, there'd be two more over there talking about, hey, let's go have a beer. We'll just have one. You know what I mean? So then the knowledge, you know, the more that I shared with relatives, you know, on this very personal healing and recovery, I had to keep it personal, because every time I would mention it, it just seemed like the fallback came, you know, there was always somebody ready to party. And I just, you know, at least for, you know, me in the beginning, that was the wisest route, because I've had to start, stop. I never had to start again, but you know what I mean? It wasn't just, oh, one day I gave it up, you know, because there's a whole lot to giving up substance. It's company.
Yeah,
it's
a journey.
Yeah. And so, you know, it wasn't until I got stronger, you know, and I had more days behind me that I could actually share that, because my vibration was so high. You know, I kept my spirit up, and I kept my interactions and my vibration high, because, you know, it's when you're low that they're able to attack. And, you know, I had to get to that point of, you know, being able to stay in that state, you know what I mean? Because you know how easy it is to, and how easily offended you get. I don't know if you were like that, but I know when I first started out, I was an emotional wreck, you know what I mean? Because here I am, naked, you know, basically. Nothing to ease the pain or comfort me. You know what I mean? So here, I'm just in the raw, trying to, you know, and so, you know, I then I had to learn how to deal with things without a vice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, so.
Because you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you have to learn trust, and you have to learn humbleness, all that all over again. The things that our people taught babies, you know, trust. You know, traditionally, we would learn those things by the time we were three or throughout that whole time. But the majority of us, we don't learn it until we go out and seek it ourselves.
Right.
And that first, I remember, because I was in and out of jail, treatment centers, you know, facilities, whatever, since I was 18. Every time I see somebody that I use with or whatever, I go right towards them. And this last time, something just changed, you know. I lived through that last experience, and I was like, man, I must be here for a reason, you know. And I just started having more respect for myself. And you do. You got to do a lot of stuff on your own. I mean, thank God for the support that a person can seek out. You know, some places it's a lot harder than others. You know, Peter Newbreth, the owner of Native Wellness Institute, you know, she said something during COVID. She said, you know, our people, traditionally, we don't like to be videoed and you know, social media, all that stuff when it comes to our traditional ways. But because of COVID, it opened up a doorway where we could support others, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, learning how to stand on our own 2 feet, man, that's empowering all its own.
Yeah. Because, you know, that to that dependency thing, you know, we literally, you know, there is such thing as having, you know, for some women, they have created, you know, a dependency for a man. That, mm-hmm. And will choose a man over their child in a minute, you know,
yep.
Or the dependency for a man to pay the bills, to be a kept woman, you know, and those too, you know. So, yeah, you do got to learn how to do things on your own and be just okay with yourself, you know.
Right.
And
right.
Some can, that's usually the raw that relatives or, you know, people can't get over. They can't pass that hurdle, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you do. You have to, for one, all, you know, any of our, you know, things that we battle with, whether it's, you know, by oppression or, you know, you know the dangers of being indigenous, you know? That's the first thing you teach your children. You know what I mean? That's the first thing I taught my granddaughter, you know? And so, you know, you damn near remain in a survival mode, you know? And that's I'm tired of living like that, you know what I mean? And, you know, I was just telling somebody, you know, I grew up at different points and had homelessness, and to this day, I'm not able to shake the routine at night of figuring out what I'm going to do tomorrow. Where am I going to shower? Where am I going to eat at? Where am I going to rest? Where am I going to, you know what I mean? Even though I have a home, you know? And, like, my kids, I could never understand my kids sometimes because, you know, I grew up on commodities, canned juice, you know. They think not having, you know, soda in the house.
Netflix.
I'm like, when I grew up, I said Kool-Aid was the thing. That was the top of the line. Not Pop-Pop is when you really had money. So it had to be check day. Had to be check day, you know. And so their wastefulness and their lack of appreciation sometimes just, you know, bothers me. You know, I said, oh, shit. I said, you know, where I'm from, you know, the next res is 100 miles away. You know what I mean? So if you ain't got no car, you're suckered out, Buster. You know, and I remember, you know, I remember when people would make store runs, You know, who needs something? And, you know, you didn't just go for yourself. You went for almost everybody in town. You know what I mean? They know
yeah,
nothing.
Community.
Yes. You know?
Yep. That trauma mode, you know, like
yeah.
you spoke of last night, you know, that's in us before birth. You know, we're
yeah.
holding the traumas of our generations before, our reactions, our responses to things. Rightfully so. But it's definitely a battle. It's a battle to overcome that. But the outcome of staying on that red road and working on yourself and learning to love yourself, the outcome is amazing. And to be able to walk down a street that I used to not be able to walk down, that triggered the hell out of me, you know, trap house here, trap house there, I'm able to be in it, you know, and be with my people and learn to support them where they're at, no matter where they're at, you know, because I have that, we have that lived experience.
You know what's interesting? I like to add about Montana.
Yeah.
One of the most beautiful places in the world. And it's where I found healing was in Montana. Crow Nation. That's your neighbors, right?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I found healing there. And I'm telling you, it's amazing, Montana and all our medicines. And wow. When you least expect it, there it is, shows up.
Mm.
It just helps
yeah.
with the trauma.
That's right.
The trauma we, right? And the trauma we carry from our ancestors, no?
Do you let's talk about
us. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, do you want to move on to, you know, your MMIP. I've been doing? I just been doing MMIR. You know what I mean? you know, as far as the terminology. You know what I mean? So excuse me if I say Barbara. but, you know, I am, you know, part of the task force here. My organization, Lakota Tribes of Nebraska, that's what we do. Besides the other community outreach we do, let's talk about those numbers. Let's talk about, you know, out there, because we've got a real serious problem out there, especially
yes,
on, you know.
Mhm. Yes, we do. Well, just to start out, you know, Indigenous women are 2.5 times likely to be raped or sexually assaulted within their lifetime. And one in three women, Native women, you know, are sexually assaulted. So up here in Montana, we have, as of February of 2021, which these numbers have risen since, we had 53 missing, 28 of them are under the age of 21, and 28 male and 25 female. And the FBI Crime National Information Center says that 5,590 Indigenous women are missing. And so those numbers are alarming. and just recently on my own run, they've been doing a search for a few months now, and little baby Arden come up missing. Leo Wagner, like a day or two later, and like literally days ago, another baby vanished. And so, you know, obviously something's going on right in there on the res, you know, and it has it goes hand in hand with addiction, you know, it goes hand in hand with that spiritual warfare. And, you know, we got folks up here that ain't from here, you know, doing some damage and catching us when we're weak. And we got to, you know, there's power in numbers. There's power in numbers. And I know some that are listening. You know, it's, you get scared to speak up, or, you know, whether it's, you know, what you may be called or what may happen. But we can't be scared anymore. We gotta rise above and collect as one family, community, and nation.
Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, here's my thing, especially with res living, okay. And something else I want to talk about too is the Women Against Violence Act, okay. But with res living, you know, I don't understand half the time. I mean, I understand in states like yours where there's a lot of territory, okay? A lot of wooded areas, a lot of populated areas, okay? I understand res living, but when it comes down to how boundaried it is, I don't know how to say it, but this is what I don't get sometimes is, first of all, that battle, a lot of it, you know, I'm not, there is a serial killer out there, especially in your area, your North Dakota, Washington, Northern California. Not too long ago, they had, information going around about somebody that was extorting the MMI families, saying, oh, I know where your relative is. And then turning out, they didn't know shit. They were just extorting them for money, you know, with false hopes of leading them to their relatives, you know. So it was totally, at least this group was, that they got a hold to. Obviously anywhere that there are, things we need, okay, like metals, and, you know, like that type of stuff, any extracting, basically, anything about you. Yes, that goes hand in hand with the MMI, you know, our, as far as sex trafficking and, you know, yeah, you know, the, how they come up missing, you know what I mean? Look at that one in California that had all those mass of graves of women, to find out that it was, well, they actually had two. One was near, you know, something that was being extracted, some precious metal, I don't remember, but another one where it was you know, where it had a several, was the work of a serial killer. You know, he had murdered, like, I don't know, they had on record, like, 150 or something like that. But, you know, that's only the one that his, what is that word, that braggadocious part of that psychology, you know, of you know, that control, that, you know, whatever, you know, that when they get to that trophy part, you know. But when it goes back to, you know, the rest, this is relatives, I understand, you know, sometimes we get, you know, fed up with our relatives and whatever, but that is still our relative and it is still our responsibility to check on them. So it starts there.
Right.
Looking out
family.
For our own. You know what I mean? Mm. And that's what we're forgetting to do. We're just so caught up in our everyday that we're not checking on our own. And this is 2021. You know, a lot of things, and most reservations, you know, do have, you know, some type of highway system to them. And especially here in Nebraska with I-80, Nebraska is major for, you know, trafficking, you know, because of I-80 system and whatever. So it's not like we can just let them play, you know.
Right.
You can't just let them walk home. You gotta be present, you know, and it's just so scary because, you know, of the substances that are going. I mean, they've always gone around. They always have, but they ain't been this strong. You know,
right.
You know, with the fentanyl and the heroin, you know, I mean, we know that heroin's been around since, you know, the state, whatever, you know. But not like, you know, nothing is like it used to be, even down to the green. You know what I mean? It is souped up extra, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then we have, you know, some reservations near, you know, borders. You know, I hate using this talk because I hate thinking outside of Turtle Island, okay? So I hate saying the border, you know, I don't like saying all that, but you know what I'm trying to say, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, my brother at one point, you know, my brother's a fire starter. Michael Flores, I love you. He was talking about, you know, Kansas City because, you know, he did a lot of his stomping grounds, and he had noticed, you know, his friends, you know, his drugging buddies and stuff. This is when he was using, coming up missing, you know, and he come to find in his, you know, learning that it was the trafficking, and they were taking them through Mexico and then shipping them off and to never be seen again, you know. And, you know, so, you know, when I try to be encouraging, you know, to those that have someone gone, you know, I always tell them to never think that because we're not finding them, that it's because they're gone. I have to remind them of the facts that, you know what, they could very well be in China, or they could be in, you know. So I never, you know, never forget to encourage our relatives to keep that in mind, not on a false thing, because there's nothing false about that. You know, that is the real reality, is they just may not be in the U.S. no more, you know, and to not add that in prayer. Keep them in prayer as their spirit is alive and they are still alive. And, you know, the spirit never dies. So always keep that in the thoughts, and, you know, and we always got to, you know, when we say, you know, that, you know, we're this won't stop. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And I always tell my relatives when I get to talking, you know, or I do my letter, who took my sister, you know, that this letter, this is to predators, you know, because they too could change. And you never know, someone one day just might have a change of heart and lead us to somebody or decide that they're not with it anymore. They're not okay with it. And, you know, I think of sometimes even the trauma behind that, that are forced to take part in the kidnapping or the murder or, you know, whatever it is that has taken our relatives from our grasp. You know what I mean? From being right here, you know, next to us. So, we have to let our sisters, let our brothers, let our missing know that help is on the way. You know what I mean? And we got to check those restroom bathrooms. We got to check, you know, because sometimes some of the universe is always talking to us. Sometimes there is something. Because that happened to my good friend of mine. Her daughter was taken here from Lincoln, Nebraska, and they trafficked her in Jamaica. And how they found out is her daughter left a message in a bathroom in Florida.
Wow.
So, you know what I mean? There is, you know what I mean? So it is, sometimes we just have to look, and there is a body language. You know, you know, when someone is trafficked, and you don't even know, maybe your nail lady has been trafficked or is being trafficked. You know what I mean?
Right?
Because they do, and those are the things that, you know, we need to also keep our eyes peeled for, you know, because I'm a big person about if you see something, say something, you know. And they've also got, you know, some that do that sex traffic, you know, some have a some type of branding sometimes. And the new one that just learned of recently is the one on the lip, like the bottom, you know, you pull your bottom lip out and there's a marking there. There's ones on the back of the neck. Sometimes there'll be the barcodes, you know, like on a product you buy, you know, sometimes it'll be a stamp like that. Sometimes it'll be someone's name. You know, but the one on the lip, that was the newest one that I had just learned about on the inside of the lip. So, you know, this is dangerous work, as you know. You know, and this isn't for the weak, you know, to go on those searches, to talk, to raise that awareness, you know, because there's also the predator that is coming after our sisters at events, you know, whether it's whoever hosting, because we do have an identified predator, you know, showing up at MMI events. One was recently identified and claimed to be a part of AIM, had a whole security outfit with AIM on it, and even had an Indian, you know, I don't recall the name, but, you know, he was showing up at, and it was out in your neck of the woods, you know?
Yes. From all angles.
Have you had something like that out there?
Well, I don't know of a direct, I'm not aware of. I'm aware that that happens, and I'm aware that it's going on. And I keep educating myself. Like you and I talking last night, you know, looking at who's putting on these events, looking at where the money's coming from. Because there a lot of people, you see human traffic and you don't realize that they're not going to be all beat up. They're not going to be, you know, a lot of times they got nice phones, nice clothes, groomed well. You know, but it's that heads down, those signs that you're talking about, that body language, they're scared.
Yeah.
They're scared.
Their posture. It is mirroring an abused person. The indirect eye contact, you know, or the constant apologizing. I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, money is the root of all evil.
Isn't it? And
just learning about following that trail, you know, and you enlightened me hugely last night. You know.
It's nuts because, you know, I didn't realize just how much it is supported. You get what I'm saying? And even some of these groups, because there was a group, there was a... Check this out. It was a female motorcycle group. And they were going around with doing pipe ceremony, you know? Not real medicine. And, you know, somebody had wore recording device of the fake medicine, you know? And they were charging... I don't remember how, outrageous. And then, as I'm watching the video, you know, of it, because, you know, obviously somebody wore some stuff, but trying to expose them, I go and look at the table where they got all their merchandise. And it's my sister, Quilla Pisa, all over it.
Wow.
And, you know, Quilla Pisa, she is the... original, well, you know, face of MMI, you know what I mean? And I just look at, you know, these groups sometimes when I see her image, and I draw, and I'll say something. Well, because your image looks just like my sister, and did you pay my sister? You know what I mean? Like, I'll say, and some use the, as it for... a profit-raising thing that don't even go to, you know, any of these families or, you know, the purpose. They just pocket
right.
the money. They use it. And so you do have to be very mindful, and you cannot take candy from strangers, period. You get what I'm saying? And
yes.
you do have to
yes,
be mindful about who you're receiving a donation from, because you can't, you have to be particular in this, because you'll never know. You may take a donation from the very person or the people or whatever, the group that is the cause of what's going on around you. And it is that serious.
Yeah.
And, you know, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you know,
just smile in their face, being
yes.
involved, and
yes,
and that's the mark right there, yeah,
yep, you know, and you can't, oh my goodness, woo, I have the goosebumps
I know.
Right now. That's it.
We
that's
have to get
you
more.
Know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know that that the truth is present. The truth is present. You know, because truth is a vibration you can feel. You know. So, oh wow. Thank you for sharing your medicine with us. Let's keep talking. You know.
We have
to
get organized.
Yeah. Definitely, we do. And, you know, because like I said, it starts with us. That's the accountability that we need to take. You know, that, I mean, how the hell else did baby, you know, go from being right in your front of your face to not being in front of your face? At what point did you take your eye off your kids? Or how the fuck, excuse me, how'd they get in? There's only one way in or two, one way in, one way out.
Yeah.
How the hell did somebody who didn't know come along? Or did we know who it was? You know what I mean? And it's that real.
Yep.
You know, because
if we were more organized and more unified and more involved in the community, see somebody out of place, we would see somebody different, especially in those areas. You know, we know on the res, everybody knows everybody.
Right.
And so it's very, very frustrating, and the thing that I just hold on to is continuing the work, and that medicine is within those prayers. You know, we got the strongest medicine behind us in those prayers.
Definitely, I agree with that. I'm a testimony to that. Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, I was going to say, you know, a great sister, Kristen McKay. I love her so much. But
I love you too.
Her medicine is she always shows up with her 10,000 grandmas. You know, and I said, there it is. I said, that's my solidarity. You know what I mean? That's it. I said that, you know, because you're right. There's strength in numbers. So when I show up and I bring my 10,000 and you show up with your 10,000 and Kristen with her, that number, that strength in that number. And so we've got to encourage one another to begin that healing process so that we can take those 10,000 with us everywhere we go.
Definitely. I say that in my in our talking circle. You know, when somebody's down and out, I said, you realize how much power is right here? You realize how you are powerful. You have so much strength behind you. And going to those ancestors. And the more we're healing, the more they're healing.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
I am. That's why I do it. Ain't that why you do it, Santa Claus?
That's right. I always say this, we are them. Huh? We are them.
Yeah.
I love that.
We are them. We carry them with us. Shit. Yeah, you know, I got a funny story. When I was in Montana, I was at that Crow Nation powwow, Crow Fair.
Yeah.
And I got lost in conversation. It was like it was the fifth day where they do that sacred ceremony they do on the grounds. So so I was deep in a conversation. I don't know what it was, but it was, you know, they had announcements and stuff. So when we got there, my car was right in the middle of the arena. What they did was They made an announcement. Anyone on the western side, please remove your cars. Of course, I wasn't listening. So there's my rented car, right? I rent a car from Colorado. I drove from Colorado. So I'm like, can I dig a hole and just like bury myself, you know? And then, so they did the, and the thing is, I had no time to get to the car, move out. You see the dancers coming in, and then they dance around the car. They did this round dance kind of thing. And my car was in the middle. So then my friends were with me. They're like, uh-oh, you're going to be in trouble. You know, I'm like, oh, damn it. What? You know, big sacred ceremony, and there's this Hyundai, you know. Red Hyundai, so remember. So,
that's the middle,
so,
huh? Where do you think he had a funny story? I had already started busting a gut. You know what I mean? Because...
No.
I know
it's
going to be funny.
No, but here's the thing. I'm like, all right, I'm cool. I'm going to wait till everyone's done and everyone leaves. Then I'll get the car, right? Right? So everyone's like chilling. Like, all right, we want to find out who's this guy, who's this poor guy, you know? And everyone's chilling out, and I refuse to move. I'm like, no. All of a sudden, this pickup truck comes up out of nowhere, the sheriff's, to tow the car. I'm like, no way. So of course everyone's waiting now. All right, this poor sucker is gonna come out right now. So finally, I stepped up. Everyone's staring at me like, all right, that's the poor guy, you know, whatever. So I told the pickup guy, listen, man, that's my car. It's a rental car. You can't tow it. And the sheriff guy's like, all right, give me $50 and I'll go away. So, does this happen in Montana? Because this doesn't happen in the city here in New York. They just take it. So I give the dude $50. Big white guy, you know. $50, he's gone. Now he's gone, right? And I'm happy. All right, my cop. I'm like, oh, who's that? Everyone's staring at me now. So this elder comes, man, straight out of a movie. This elder comes towards me. I was like, okay, that's the guy that's gonna yell at me. That's the guy that's going to yell at me, right? And the big crow guy, right? He comes at me, elder, right? And he goes, he comes right next to me. He goes, hey, man, you got a sacred car there, you know? Sacred now. Take care of it. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? So then everyone that I knew and didn't know, yeah, you got a good car there, you know, that's good, man. I'm like, and then everyone's teasing the hell out of me, and I'm like, what's wrong with this? Like, back in New York, I would have had my ass kicked or something, you know, sacred ceremony, you know. So that was my first introduction to, like, what medicine, native medicine is all about, you know what I mean? Like, wow, man. So that motivated me, man. That's, you know, oh, man. That was something else. That Hyundai was secret. Yeah. I didn't bring it back, though. Yep. I'm telling you, man. Does that make sense? It makes sense, right? It's something they would do, right? Out in Montana,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Santa Corey and his Indian car.
You know, if we had social media back in the day, that would have been a great photo. See all these crow women, crow men in their regalia.
Brown
like a round. Yeah, I can't believe they did it, though.
That's an Indian car right there.
They ignored the car.
And the crow's always teasing down there, too.
You know,
a lot of medicine and laughter.
And it's funny because I tell people here in the East Coast when they do ceremonies and stuff, it has to be perfect. Oh, no, you know, can't take photos. No, you can't do this. You can't do that. No, you got to wear a dress. I'm like, you guys don't understand. I had a sacred red car that they danced around it. They didn't give a crap. Who cares about photos? Don't forget about that. I'm telling you, man. I know those crows. I know if I show up right now, they don't know who I am. I'm telling you.
Yeah, they will. You're the one they talk about.
Yeah, they're still telling that story.
I just couldn't believe it.
No.
Yo, if you hear this story, just tell it. It's short Puerto Rican guy, Taino guy, you know?
You bet that one.
So who let this guy in? But I just can't, I will never forget that image. This wreck rent a car right in the middle of the sacred ceremony. Wow. That's some strong medicine, though, right?
Lodge.
Huh?
Yeah, that is.
See, it makes sense, right? You know it.
Well, laughter is great medicine, too. You know?
That is medicine. That is what we call indigenous medicine.
I'm telling you, I would love to see, you know, that humor more, you know, bring that back, you know, because
yeah,
we are some funny people.
you know what I mean?
And that right there was just a good feeling. Sometimes we gotta just laugh at ourselves. You know what I mean? Because sometimes I just think about some of the shit I put myself through. You know what I mean?
Right.
And what else can you do, you know? I mean, you could keep denying you put yourself through it, but, you know, we're not coming from that place no more, relatives. We're going to take that accountability. We're going to call our spirit back, because we can't claim land back and all that if we ain't first claiming spirit back, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that starts with that accountability for the shit we allowed, you know? That's the no more. That's the no more beating the shit out of ourselves. You know what I mean?
That's right. We gotta do it. Yeah.
We gotta do it. The only way is with love. We gotta have love for us.
Yeah. That's it.
Well,
that's,
you know, my new favorite song. They say, "I believe in no one more than I believe in myself."
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Nice, that's it.
Powerful.
Time to remember, relatives. It's time to remember who the F we are. We're First Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Got to do away with that reservation thinking and start thinking like the nation.
Think outside the box. Yes.
The nation, right?
You know? You know, and
wow.
you can't even be in any type of relationship not having love for yourself first. You'll never love anyone right until you learn to love yourself. Be comfortable in your own skin, who you are, your likes, your dislikes, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And to heal relatives.
Mhm. It's true.
That's it right there.
Very, very true. You know, it's funny. I just found out that vegetarian is an indigenous word. I don't know if you heard about that, Leigh. It's an indigenous word. Vegetarian. You know, they say you have to eat right and all that, be healthy. So.
Yeah.
You know what it means, vegetarian.
What?
In the native way, it means bad hunter. Bad hunter.
Leah,
so you got
right.
No choice, right? You got to eat right.
Look, I fell for his, I was like, look, I fell all hook, line, and sinker. He said, oh, guess what? I found out vegetarian is an indigenous word. I said, you know what? I think I heard that. Like, I was like, I really trying to think what I heard.
I heard it.
Fell for it. And, oh, my God.
I can't remember the native brother that said that. I saw it on YouTube. Oh, that's the funniest. Self-love, man. You gotta laugh at yourself. You're self-love, right? Oh, man.
Go gather some
bad
berries.
Hunter. Yo, man, this is it, man. It's the good medicine, right? 4-1, man. Wait, we're on overtime. Can you believe an hour and a half?
Dang,
Indian
by.
Time now. Hour and a half. That's it. The clock is out the window. What clock? But do you have any?
Yeah.
Yeah. You what's that? I'm gonna eventually download this show to YouTube so we can all share it and share that knowledge, right? Share the medicine. So,
definitely.
Yeah. Do you have any final remarks, both of you? You have any final remarks for the people who are listening?
I want to say, thank you for having me tonight. And it's always an honor, when someone calls on you to come forward and you do what you can to help. And if I can leave anything with anybody, it's just don't give up. Say your prayers and have faith in yourself and get to know where you come from. Because if we don't know where we come from, my grandpa used to always say, you don't know where you come from, you never know where you're going. And I found that to be very true.
I love that.
I love being here with you guys tonight. And, we're definitely running on Indian time, huh?
Oh, man, the clock is long gone. It's like, yeah, I'm going to chill out now. I'm going to have fun. It took off. But, so I'm just going to try to wrap it up. How about you, 401? You got anything going on? You got anything, any announcements, any final words for the people? For one, you there? I think we lost her.
She's laughing so hard she hung up.
Oh, there she go. Oh, I got disconnected for a second. For one, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I thought I was talking. No, I was talking. It was just you.
Oh, I thought the men in black got you.
Yapping. I'm like, you're doing my Miss America wave. I thought you guys could hear me.
You're real sexy.
Okay,
sexy
let me
auntie.
Start all over. Sisters, thank you. Nothing but gratitude and love. Thank you for blessing us with your beautiful spirit. And, and just keeping it real with relatives. I mean, that's the best that we can do is tell the truth. Tell the truth. Tell about that struggle, And, it was a very big blessing that you came to, talk about what's going on in your neck of the woods. And, of course, Mr. Senecori, big blessings.
Yeah.
Thank you, Taino, Radio Ann, relatives, for sharing this platform with us, And, again, another great example of solidarity. We've got Taino Nation represent. We've got Blackfeet, and we've got Lakota, the Dongu Lakota representing. And, come together, relatives, let's get that medicine. Start that healing,
That's right. Thank you all. Wow. Awesome. Great show. We got to get you back. We got to bring you back from Montana. Yeah. Do a part two soon.
Love that.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah, man, that's great. That's great. So, all right,
I will check with my crow people.
All right, yeah, yeah. Hey, if you ever crow, if you ever at Crow Fair, tell them you spoke to the guy with the red Hyundai, little short, tiny guy. Tell them medicine is strong. I don't know. It was, what a day. Best part, I only had to pay $50. That was incredible. You're in the city, they just take the card. Who's that?
Get the million loan.
Big dude from Billings. Big dude from Billings, you know?
Hey, do you know how Billings got its name? My grandpa used to tell us stories.
Oh, yeah,
those Indians come over that. Those Indians come over by the rims, you know, over where you can, by the airport, looking down into Billings. And they couldn't say big building, so they said Billings.
Oh, man. That's it, man. That's it. Oh, man. I've been to Billings. It's kind of interesting. But Montana, something about that big sky. You can see the stars, and you can see everything at night. It's incredible. So,
beautiful.
God blessings. Yeah, blessings to you all. We got to do a road trip, 401. We got to head out to Montana one day.
Look,
I'll pick you up in Nebraska.
Yes, and you know what? Leah was already talking about it. She's like, we've got to go. We've got to do something, sister. And we're on it.
Yes.
Already, and yeah, you're gonna have to pick me up on, along the way, Santa Craig, because I'm not going to New York to get you to go meet Leah.
I got a red car in Colorado. I got a red car in Colorado. Pick up.
I can't wait to hear the
pick
story about that one.
It's a 4-1. Let's go, man. We got this.
Yes,
Montana, next
it.
Destination.
Next destination, yes.
Hey, 401, should I play one song at the end? What do you think?
Absolutely.
Hey, how about how about our version of Creator with you and I? How about that one?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Many blessings to you, Led. Wherever you are in Montana, blessing to you, your family, your people, everyone. Thank you for being here. We'll see you again.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. 401, just wait for the ride, all right? I'll be there soon.
All right. Okay.
All right, cool, man. Peace out.
Right now. Can you hear me? Tak, Ayarera, Shi, Abo, Ishi, Sapara, Oria, Toka, Subuna, Mamona, Toka, Abo, Wak.
Take away the trauma in my DNA. They got my people enslaved, can't help me. Stand my ground, 10 toes down, protected by your shield. One of the few still own my soul, and my will is mine. Awaken, not blind, tell me, Creator, am I one of the tribes still hurt by you? I need you right now.
Right now,
can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I need you right now.